All right, let's dive into this case, huh? We're heading to South Dakota, a case about a dog bite. And this one went all the way to the state Supreme Court. You'd think, you know, dog bites, pretty straightforward, owner's on the hook. Case closed? Right.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you?
But this case, Gertz v. Vatine, shows just how complicated things can get when it comes to man's best friend in the law.
It really does. It really throws a bone to those assumptions, you know? A lot of people just assume the dog owner is automatically liable, period. But the reality is, it's much more nuanced, especially in South Dakota.
Okay, so set the scene for us. This case takes us all the way back to 1995. We've got Jessica Gertz, and she's visiting her friend.
Cindy Nielsen.
Right, Cindy Nielsen. And Nielsen has this St. Bernard Wilbur hanging out in the back of her pickup.
And that detail where Wilbur was, it's actually really important. He wasn't running loose. He was restrained by the harness. That becomes a key point later on.
So Gertz asks if she can pet Wilbur, gets the okay, and, well, things go wrong.
Things go very wrong.
Wilbur bites her face, and pretty severely, too. Leads to, well, a whole legal battle.
Yeah. And that's where the fur really starts to fly, legally speaking.
Okay, so walk us through this legal battle. What were the arguments here?
So Gertz sued, claiming both strict liability and negligence. And those are the two main legal avenues you can go down when a dog bites someone.
For those of us who, you know, don't deal with legal jargon every day, can you break those down for us a bit?
Sure. So think of strict liability like this. The owner's responsible no matter what, whether they knew their dog was dangerous or not. In some states, dog bites, boom, strict liability. But South Dakota, they have a different approach.
So they don't automatically just blame the owner.
Exactly. To trigger strict liability in South Dakota, you have to prove the owner knew their dog was dangerous, had a history of biting, something like that.
So in Wilbur's case, was there any evidence he was, like, a known biter before this happened?
None. The court found zero evidence. They even mentioned that, you know, St. Bernards, they're generally known for being pretty gentle dogs. And on top of that, Wilbur, clean record, no prior bites.
Okay, so strict liability's out. But what about negligence? Did that argument have more bite, so to speak?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. Negligence means the owner should have known the dog was a risk and taken steps to prevent it. Gertz argued Nielsen was negligent because, well, Wilbur wasn't restrained properly.
Hold on, wasn't he in a harness in the back of the truck? We talked about that.
He was. But Gertz brought in an expert, a dog expert, who said Nielsen should have used a leash instead. And this expert had a theory, maybe, just maybe, Wilbur was reacting to the scent of Gert's own dog, and a leash would have given Nielsen more control.
So even with an expert, the court wasn't convinced.
Nope, they weren't buying it. You see, you can have experts saying all sorts of things, but in the eyes of the law, you need evidence. You need proof. And the court found this whole scent theory to be, well, pretty speculative. There's no proof Nielsen even knew Gertz had another dog, for one thing.
Interesting. So no evidence that Wilbur was a troublemaker and no evidence that Nielsen should see this coming. What about the harness? Did the court think that was negligent?
Actually, no. The court actually sided with Nielsen on the harness. They found that using a harness, especially one designed for large dogs like Wilbur, was a perfectly reasonable precaution. In fact, they went even further, suggesting that a leash, like the expert recommended, might have actually made Wilbur more likely to bite.
Wait, a leash could have made things worse. Okay, now that is wild.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive, but their reasoning was that the leash might have made Wilbur feel trapped, which, you know, could lead to more aggressive behavior.
So the court really, I mean, they really analyzed every little detail, huh? Every possible angle.
They did. And get this, it gets even more interesting because one of the judges actually disagreed with the majority opinion. He thought the whole case should have gone to a jury.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. Right. A dissenting opinion. All right, now things are getting really juicy. Tell me more about that. What didn't this judge agree with?
So this judge, Justice Sabers, he felt like there were just too many unanswered questions, you know, to just rule in Nielsen's favor outright. He thought a jury should have heard the whole thing.
Interesting. So even the judges weren't all on the same page. It makes you think, what's considered reasonable when we talk about owning a dog, right? Like, where do you draw the line?
You hit the nail on the head. Foreseeability. That's the key here. Could a reasonable person in Nielsen's shoes, could they have foreseen that Wilbur might bite? Most of the court said no, but this dissenting judge, he thought a jury should be the one to answer that question.
This whole thing really highlights how one dog bite can turn into this whole legal maze, huh? I mean, we've got strict liability versus negligence, expert opinions, a dissenting judge, and it all comes back to something called summary judgment, right? And that's what ultimately let Nielsen win without a trial.
Exactly. Summary judgment, it's like, it's kind of a legal shortcut in a way. If the court decides there's no real dispute about the facts, you know, the important facts, they can make a ruling without going through a whole trial. It's basically saying one side has such a strong case, legally speaking, that a jury isn't necessary.
So in this case, the court decided Gertz just didn't have enough to prove her claims, so no trial needed.
Precisely. But remember that dissenting judge, he argued that she did raise enough valid points to at least have a trial. He thought a jury should have been the ones weighing in on the harness, the whole scent theory, you know, all of it, whether Nielsen acted reasonably or not.
It's amazing, you know, how much legal depth there is in this one dog bite case. You think it would be pretty simple, but it's not. The law's not always so black and white.
You got that right. Gertz v. Battine, it's a textbook example of how the tiniest details can really impact a case. Even, you know, even experienced legal minds can disagree on what's reasonable or whether someone should have seen something coming.
Makes you realize that even though we have all these laws, there's still room for interpretation, for debate, yeah, for different perspectives. And that dissenting opinion really drives that home.
Absolutely. It's a valuable lesson, especially for anyone in the legal field. Being able to see a case from different angles, consider every argument, that's so important.
I can definitely see why this case would be like required reading for law students or, you know, any lawyer who deals with dog bite cases. But what about everyone else? Like, what can everyday dog owners take away from this?
I'd say the biggest takeaway here is that being a responsible dog owner, it goes beyond just, you know, loving your pet. You need to be aware of the risks and take steps to protect yourself, protect others.
So basically, know your dog, their personality, what makes them tick, and try to avoid putting them in situations where they might feel threatened or stressed.
Exactly. But even the most, you know, even the most careful owner can't predict everything. That's why it's also smart to actually understand the laws about dog bites in your state specifically. Knowing your rights and your responsibilities, that can prevent a lot of headaches down the line.
This case really makes you think twice about everything that's involved when a dog bites, huh? It's not always so cut and dry. Like, just blame the owner. There's a lot of gray area there.
Definitely. And that's why cases like this are so important. They force us to really look at how complex the law can be and how different interpretations, well, they can lead to very different outcomes.
It also makes me wonder, how would this have gone down in a state with, like, stricter dog bite laws? If South Dakota had that strict liability thing we talked about, would Gertz have won?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Legal experts, they've been debating this for years. Some say strict liability would make owners more accountable, you know, make them more careful. Others say it's not fair to punish owners for something they couldn't have prevented.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You don't want to punish people for something that wasn't their fault. But then again, victims of dog bites, they often deal with some pretty serious consequences, physical and emotional. It's complicated. No easy answers.
It really shows that, you know, we're still figuring things out when it comes to balancing the rights of dog owners and keeping everyone else safe.
Yeah, no easy answers there. But hey, I think we've unearthed enough legal concepts in this one dog bite case to fill like a whole semester of law school.
Yeah.
It's wild how something that seems so simple on the surface can raise all these complicated questions, you know, liability, foreseeability, the role of the courts.
For sure. It just underscores how powerful the legal system is, right? It can tackle these super nuanced issues, and it gives us a way to handle these disputes fairly. Yeah. Even when there's not a clear answer, the law gives us a process for looking at evidence, hearing different sides, and then, you know, finally making a decision.
You know, if anyone's listening and thinking, well, I don't have a St. Bernard, so this doesn't really apply to me, I think there's some broader lessons here beyond just dog bites.
Oh, definitely. This case, it speaks to personal responsibility. Whether you're a dog owner, you run a business, whatever, we all have a responsibility to act reasonably, right? To try and prevent harm to others.
So what, like, whether you're walking your tiny chihuahua or you're running a construction site, even just having people over for a barbecue, it's always smart to think about those what-if scenarios.
That's right.
And do what you can to keep things safe.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you ever find yourself caught up in some kind of legal mess, Gertz v. Battine is a good reminder. Understanding the law and having solid evidence to back you up. That's huge.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, folks, looks like we've reached the end of another deep dive. We've gone from the back roads of South Dakota all the way to the Supreme Court today.
It's been a fascinating case to unpack, and I hope everyone listening has a better sense of, well, how tricky dog bite liability can be, yeah, and all the legal stuff that goes along with it.
And hey, if you want to dig even deeper into this case, we've got a link to the full court opinion right there in the show notes. Check it out.
Until next time, everyone, stay curious, stay informed, and maybe think twice before petting that dog you don't know.